T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
5:03 on The Fan, Hour 4 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Mike Francesa will come your way. Pete Hoffman in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studio with nobody, and nobody on top of that. Beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
Here he is, the czar of baseball, John Heyman. John, how you feeling?
John.
I'm okay. Hey, guys. How are you doing? Sorry about your phone, Joe. I feel terrible for you.
Yeah, well, it was, it had a phenomenal run. So, God, thank God.
21 years.
I don't know about 21. I would say it's been around for about 15. I would say 15, 16 years.
It's a flip phone. But when I send you a text, once in a while you do get back to me.
No. I get texts. No, I was able to text on it. Okay. I was able to text on it all the time. But, I mean, it just finally said goodbye.
But no internet on your phone, I guess.
No internet.
Okay.
Joe doesn't use the internet, period. Why would he need it on his phone?
My wife handles all that for me.
Wow, that's terrific. Yes, that's good. I'm bad. I finally went to the iPhone about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Everybody was ripping me, but I'm so happy.
Believe
to
me,
have
I've gotten ripped
behind
constantly.
Me.
Don't worry, I've gotten ripped constantly. I've fought it to the nth degree.
All right, I don't blame you. I was stubborn as well, so I know where you're coming from.
The thing about, because I it took me a while to go to an iPhone. Like I wouldn't say a flip phone, Joe, but I didn't have a great phone for a while. And the reason why I wanted to stay with it is I always drop my phone. You know, I'm biking, it falls off. And I didn't want to get a nice phone.
You do leave your phone around, too. I noticed, like those days when we used to work in the studio back in the old days.
I'm very
you would leave it around. I mean, you would do that.
I'm very loosey goosey with my phone. I haven't gotten better, even though I have a nicer phone and I really need to. So that was why I was always thinking, like, let me just stay with a cheap phone, so if I drop it or lose it, it's not that big of a deal. But Heyman, you tweet and text so much that you probably need a new phone every 6 months.
You know what? I looked in my drawer recently and I think there were 37 phones in there. So I'm a little ahead of Joe on the phone usage.
37? Yeah. All the same
number? You know.
Is it all the same number?
Yes. I've kept it. I have my old Newsday number, the old Melville number. Still have it.
That's impressive. Hey, that's why I've got, an area code. I don't know if you noticed, John, when we text, that's not from New York. I still have my old Maryland number.
Yeah,
is that
that area code is?
That's what it
is.
Yeah.
I always wondered what that was, because it's not a New York or New Jersey code.
Because I got that cell phone down there, or I think I had a cell phone before that, but I somehow got that number down there, and I wanted to keep it. I didn't want to get rid of it.
301 or 410 or something?
You're
like
0 for 2.
Yeah, I'm 0 for 2. Neither. I'm not going to say what it is. If you want to say it, you can.
I would if I knew, but I can't remember.
It's not either one, though. That was a good guess, though, because you're right about those area codes. But
those
I don't
are
the have
Baltimore area codes.
Yeah. That's why anytime, because I don't know anybody from Maryland anymore, or D.C. I don't talk to anybody. But whenever I get a number from the same area code or a Maryland area code, I always know it's just the wrong number. I know right away, because who the hell's calling me? Nobody's calling me from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Not happening.
Glen Burnie, Maryland.
Yeah, just named a random town. Why not? John, what the hell's going on? Where are we right now in the player-owner discussion?
Well, we're not at a great moment, but there's still a little time, and I cannot believe that they're going to let economics get in the way. Sure, if the health protocols and the data get in the way, and I think the protocols, I think the players are going to work that out. I mean, there's been some give and take on that already, and I think that will be worked out. As long as the health data improves, we've got the governors, Governor Cuomo and Newsom and Governor Abbott in Texas all on board. And, you know, I think things are generally positive, but they need to figure out the economics. And right now, they have not been able to do that. The union is awaiting the proposal from MLB. And I don't know if it's going to be that 50-50 revenue sharing. If it is, I'm convinced that the union will not go for that. So I don't think that will happen. And I don't think we're going to see prorated. It's pretty convincing that MLB is not going to do the prorated pay for the 82-game schedule.
Are the players willing, though, from what you understand, to at least bend a little bit? They won't do 50-50 revenue, but will they give something back to make a deal?
You know, they don't. At this point, they say they're entrenched, and they're not certainly going to tell me that they're softening or anything like that. But I do sense, I'm just going by what I sense, that both sides will do some compromising here. I think it really is too late to do the 50-50, to really explain that whole thing and to do that with the revenue sharing. It you can't do that in 10 days or 2 weeks. I just don't think it can get done. So I think the MLB will have to come off of that. They have not ever proposed that formally. It's been out there that that's what they're interested in, but I don't believe that's going to happen, and I do think the players will have to compromise. And I think both sides understand that they want to do a deal. I do believe both sides want to do a deal, and I don't believe they're going to let the economics get in the way of this. Both sides are going to suffer. I do believe MLB will lose money either way, whether it's a canceled season. Obviously, they lose money if they paid prorated for 82 games. They'd lose money. I think whatever they work out, they're still going to lose money. It's not going to be great for the players either, because right now they're just hoping to get half their pay, and I don't think they're going to get that. So it's lose-lose on both sides, but both sides are going to have to give to get it done.
Well, I mean, I look at it right now, and to me, John, if they're going to start playing baseball, let's say 4th of July, I mean, the clock is ticking. I mean, they got a couple.
Yep.
I mean, to me, they got to get it done by June 1st, right? I mean, pretty much by June 1st, you got to have something, a plan ready to go.
Yeah, they're saying early June. They might be able to stretch it to June 10th. They want to give players time to be able to make their accommodations as well. And so, I mean, I'm going to say they can stretch it a little. It's not a hard deadline, June 1st, but you can't go too far past that. But both sides know they need to get it done, so I'll be shocked if they don't figure it out. It'd be great for baseball. I think we're still skeptical of these other sports that are more contact sports. Baseball's outdoors, generally not contact, and they've got a lot of protocols. They spent a lot of time on that. I think they've done a good job with it. It's probably even more strict than it's going to end up, but they're going to negotiate that too. I still think it's going to happen. I still think they're going to, more likely than not, they're going to figure out the economics. So I just don't believe they'll let that.
There's a couple of reasons why I kind of disagree with you on why it's going to be easier to pull off basketball and maybe hockey. They are contact games, much more so than baseball, you're right. But they're going to do bubble cities, and they don't need as much time, because they're going to basically go right to the playoffs. They're going to spend 30 seconds finishing their regular season, and they're going to go right to the playoffs. And in basketball's case, it's so much fewer players. So it's a contact game, you're right.
Yeah.
It's not outside. But right now in this moment on May 21st at 5:11, I feel much more confident that I'm going to watch the Brooklyn Nets play a game than I am the New York Mets going to play a game. I feel much more confident.
I'm not sure. I understand what you're saying logistically. Of course, all the seasons were canceled or suspended because of the positives that were in the NBA, and they seemed to spread throughout the team. Wasn't there one team with four players that had positives?
The Nets had that, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that being a contact sport, and there were several teams with several players. We don't know one MLB player who's positive. That doesn't mean there isn't one, but we don't know one. They had a study done, and about one, not quite 1%, were positive in baseball among all the employees, including some players. So, You know, they stay away from each other. They notice they can stay away from each other. There won't be any high-fiving. There won't be any fist bumping, and there won't be fighting on the field. They're gonna limit that stuff that with their contact. But baseball is non-contact generally.
You know, whether they get something done or not, because I can't imagine they're going to let money get in the way, especially now. But
right.
Down the road, John, when this agreement is up, when they got to come up with a new collective bargaining agreement, it looks like there's going to be a lot of bad blood between the owners and players going forward. I mean, it does seem like that.
Yeah, I mean, there is bad blood now.
The
memo I saw from the union that was sent to the agents and presumably then on to the players started with a comment about the misinformation coming out of MLB. So they quoted an article of Deadspin in which it said the players were rightfully livid. They were upset about the leaking or the publicizing of some internal email and that MLB had that they thought suggested that the prorated play was predicated on having fans. So I don't think it's going to be prorated without fans. I think there's going to be a compromise from both sides. But right now, there is bad blood. I will say this, MLB does have a good record. I saw you knocking on ceiling a little bit, but for 25 years, we haven't had any kind of work stoppage.
And he was the commissioner during the strike, was he not?
Well, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the steroid era, right?
Right, right. I'm talking about the commissioner now is Rob Manfred. Right?
Oh, yes.
So 25 years we've had no work stoppages at all. I was just segueing into right now.
I understand.
I mean, Bud's been there for most of that time as well. He just had the 94 thing. I understand where you guys are coming from. But Rob Manfred with Dan Halem, they've got a very good record in terms of getting deals done. Now, the union has new people. They did get a deal done with Tony Clark, but, you know, there are new people at the union. So it's not Michael Weiner anymore. Obviously, he passed away tragically. Great
but John,
guy.
But John, you're right. And we've talked about this. We give baseball its due that they haven't had any kind of work stoppage in a very long time. But negotiating through the New York Post is probably not the best way to at least have good terms with the players. To leak out a, quote, smoking gun, to say, we gotcha. Great. You think that's going to help the relationship you have with the players? What the hell's the point of that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as I said, the union was not happy. I quoted from them.
Well, what do you think? Because I'm not happy either. I think that's minor league BS to do something like that. What's the point
of that? You know, I can't really speak to exactly how the New York Post got their information.
I'm not ripping the Post. The Post did a great job. Sherman did a great job. He got the star. I'm not talking about the Post. Post did fine. I'm talking about baseball.
Yeah,
leaking that? For what purpose?
I'm just saying you can assume that it certainly probably came from the side that it benefited, so I guess so, but I don't want to speculate on the who leaked.
You know they leaked it. What are we doing?
So in any case, I can see why they'd be upset, but you have to get past that and move on. It does seem to me like the owners have won or winning the PR battle based on my tweets that I get and the feedback that I get. And I'm a little surprised about that because the players are the ones who will be taking that risk to go out on the field and play. And the sympathy seems to lie with the owners as it often does. For whatever reason, a lot of people seem to understand better why an entrepreneur or billionaire has that money and should hold on to that money better than a talented entertainer having that money, because it seems to rub people the wrong way more that the players are talking about the money than that the owners. And the millionaires versus billionaires, as they say, it does seem like just the general population tends to side with the billionaires.
Well, it doesn't help when you got guys like Blake Snell coming out and just making it sounding like a complete ass like he did.
Well, that's only one player. I'll say that's only one player.
I
got where he was coming from. He said it rather inartfully. Obviously, the way he said it was not correct, but it's been a tough very tough time for both sides, and both sides are losing big here. I mean, whatever happens, the owners will lose money this year. Now, Do we need to take up a collection for them?
No.
Obviously not. Other than the Marlins, which were bought for $1.2 billion, not worth $1.2 billion, and the Royals, which were just purchased for $1 billion, or is about to be purchased for $1 billion, these other teams have made a lot of money on their franchise values, and they've made money in previous years. Now, are they going to lose money this year? Yes, I do believe them when they say they're losing money.
Well,
I don't see any other
way. How could they not when you're only going to play half a season at best with
how
no
could
fans?
They not? Well, there's some way they could not lose money, but according to them, even if they paid the players nothing, which is obviously not happening and hypothetical, they still lose money. They still lose $1.5 billion plus. So I don't know that's their number. I don't know. I'm not an economist. I got a C in economics in college. I wouldn't, go by me, but, you know, I don't know about that number, but I do think they are losing money either way.
We're talking to John Heyman. What are you hearing in regards to the safety things that MLB laid out, that 67 pages of you can't spit, you can't take a shower at the facility, as far as what the players are going to offer back? I assume that that'll be easy to work out between the owners and the players, right?
Yeah, I don't know about easy, but it will be worked out. I agree with you. I mean, it was exhaustive, comprehensive. The ones that disrupt their preparation and their routine are the ones that they're concerned about. The no hitting in indoor cages, that's a tough one. You know, if you're called upon and you're told in the eighth inning you're going to be batting against Aroldis Chapman or Jake DeGrom or whomever, and you don't get a few swings, it's going to be tough to get in there. So that may be something. I think that the hydrotherapy is an issue. There are definitely some issues. They're going to have to give up fighting. They're going to have to give up fist bumps. They're going to have to give up touching their face when they give us signals at third base. That just involves the third base coach. But certain things they'll have to give up. Other things, there's going to be some give and take on.
Mm. So what's your feeling now? So right now, your gut, John Heyman's gut feeling, July 4th, are we playing baseball, yes or no?
I'm going to say better than 50-50, but it's right now close to 50-50. But I don't believe the economics will hold this up. I think
so your 50-50 is based on just the virus, not in terms of
you think
financial.
So the money will not be a factor?
I don't think so. I mean, I just don't believe they can do that. Like I said, MLB's got to, even though there's rhetoric, there's not rhetoric publicly coming from Rob Manfred or anybody high up in MLB, but even though there is rhetoric out there, there's obviously tension, as I've seen some of these internal emails. I think they have to get it done because it would be a black eye not to get it done. It would be the opposite, a huge lift if they're playing and on TV and people are watching it. You saw what happened with the Jordan documentary and anything else good that's on TV.
NASCAR's been getting good ratings since
NASCAR.
They've returned.
I have not been watching NASCAR, but I did watch the Jordan documentary.
No, I ended. Look, I'm not watching NASCAR either. I'm just saying they've been getting good ratings. Give them credit.
Yes, I heard. I was on the Charlotte radio this morning. I did hear
you were on with Charlotte today.
Charlotte
radio, everywhere, John.
Well, I don't know about everywhere. I was on Charlotte and with you guys.
Do they care about baseball in Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte, they don't
care.
They
did say, before they put me on, they said that we don't really care about baseball, but we're going to have this guy on. Something to that effect. It was technically, we're not the biggest baseball town, but we do miss it, and here it's John Heyman. So that was my introduction. You guys give a better introduction. They were good, though. I have to say, that was good radio. They were very good at their
job. So the NBA is probably going to come back in the middle of July, and they're going to have their playoffs July, August, probably the finals sometime early September. And then I think the NBA is going to start their season in December. And a part of why they're doing that is because they want people in the stands. But you know what else I think is a danger to Major League Baseball? This does relate to baseball, John. I think basketball is starting to view competing with baseball as something they'd like to do, as opposed to having their early months compete with the NFL, where they're saying to themselves, let's start it in December, January, kind of ease into the season. And you know what? Let's beat the daylights out of baseball in July and August for the NBA playoffs. Is that a danger for Major League Baseball down the road that they usually don't have competition in July and August? And next year, and maybe for the future, who knows, this could be a permanent change. The NBA may be going right after Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't know that the NBA is going to change its schedule for this year, after this year.
Oh, so, I think it's possible.
Anything's possible, I guess. But I think MLB right now is just worried about getting on the field and getting the health protocols right and making sure everybody's healthy and they play baseball. Even though both sides are going to lose on this, they better get it done. I mean, it's going to have repercussions in terms of baseball for a long. If they don't get this done, I hate to see what free agency looks like. Mookie Betts, forget about that $400 million.
Well, either way, forget about it.
John, everybody's going to have issues with that. You know that.
That's true.
Like,
you're
think
right.
about it right now, John, season or no season. What's Mookie Betts getting in free agency?
Right, exactly.
Not what he thought he was going to get. It's, you know, I'm not going. We're not, again, not taking up a collection, but the economy has been hurt. The owners of everything, not just baseball teams, have been hurt.
And you know what, John? For a guy like me who's more pro player, I'm totally on the owner's side on that regard. Because, hey, they lost money. What the heck are they paying Mookie Betts with?
And that's just going to be another bone of contention going forward with this potential work stoppage after the collective bargaining agreement's done. I mean, that's just going to be another thing.
Yeah, it's been tough. Like I said, they have a good record of getting it done, so let's hope that they get this done now. That's our concern at this moment. But, Mookie Betts, someone's going to get probably a good deal with him, that's all I'll say. Mm.
Maybe the Mets can afford him. Maybe by then they'll have
to. Absolutely.
Wilpons will be out.
Well, that's the key, Joe. You just hit on the key. The Wilpons can't be owning the team.
No.
Well, you know, they've had some big purchases in the past.
Yeah,
John,
I mean, come on, are they going to lose money now? I mean, yeah, forget about it. There's no shot. Come
it
on,
seems
John.
It seems unlikely, but
unlikely.
Let's
very
not forget
unlikely.
They did pony up for Piazza and for
John. Doubleday was there, and it was 22 years ago.
Right, I mean,
no, that
on,
was that long
yesterday.
Ago. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a long time.
Yeah, well,
Johan Santana, who
you
I
know,
saw
how many
you guys
years ago
mentioned?
Was that? That's 13 years ago. I mean, well, come on. It's not
it
like it happened like 10 minutes ago.
Though. I remember being in
seems
this very
like
room
yesterday.
And talking and hearing about this. But,
12 and a half years
seems
ago.
Seems like yesterday I was – Evan and I were in Manhattan.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I won't mention –
time for that.
I won't mention a great guy. It was a great guy, but I don't think it's going to get you guys too excited. It was Jason Bay. But
oh, my God.
He was great. Jason Bay was stellar.
Jeez.
John, well, yeah, I wouldn't.
Money, that was money well spent, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was a big purchase.
Was it? It was $66 million. Let's not get nuts here. It was 66. The guy they should have signed was Matt Holliday,
absolutely.
But they didn't want to pay over $100
million. A-Rod back in 2000.
Well, yeah, that's years earlier. But, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, A-Rod, yes, the better player, but quite a soap opera he would have brought. But, yes,
that's fine.
I am with you. Matt Holliday would have been a much better signing. Matt Holliday did a fantastic job. And for $120 million with the Cardinals is one of those free agent signings where you look at and you say, you know what, that was a good signing. Just like Mike Mussina was a good signing. There are some great signings. I mean, not everyone's the Greg Maddux or Randy Johnson who were, you know, shot to the top of their field after signing, but there have been some good free agent signings. Not all free agent signings are Mike Hampton or whoever, you know. There have been
true.
Some really good ones.
That was the Rockies' problem, not ours.
Yeah, not ours.
Luckily.
Right.
And it turned into David Wright. How about that?
That's right. Not bad.
That was excellent. See? They've done some good things.
John, great talking to you.
John,
as always,
pleasure,
guys,
John.
Stay safe.
You too, John.
I'm glad things are going well with Joe. He's going to get an improved phone, his golf game. He's back playing.
Yes.
It sounds all good.
Yes, I'm trying. John, all the love to you, John.
All the love to you guys. See you later.
John Heyman on the baseball situation. We'll come back, get back to your calls, 877-337-6666.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.